Hi, it's Sunday. Welcome to the kit room as usual. I'm James.
I'm Neil.
We're going to do the usual kit room show today. We'll look at the Southampton game, look at the highs, lows and all the stats. So let's get to it. Right, so Southampton beat us 2-1. Disappointing results. What were your views on it, Neil?
Yeah, we're disappointed. It's a game that I think we came into thinking we were going to win. Obviously, we won 9-0 last time, so we were thinking we'd get a decent result this time. They set up similarly to Norwich, 4-4-2. They played really strongly, knew what they were doing, and we couldn't break them down. And I've never seen us under Rodgers perform that badly. It wasn't a terrible, terrible performance, but Southampton were on it. But the amount of times that I think you were saying, like the man of the match for you was the crossbar, the amount of times we hit it. But yeah, overall, we didn't deserve to win that game. But hopefully, onwards and upwards from here, because that wasn't a good result. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, exactly the same. Southampton always going to be up for it. We thrashed them 9-0. They weren't going to let that happen again. So they set up quite well defensively, and I think the tactics are spot on. I think Ings up front for them was too much of a handful for us at times. I mean, when he rattled the crossbar, looked like that was going to go in. But I think overall, we got what we deserved. So shall we have a quick look at the stats?
Yes, let's have a look.
So looking at the stats, obviously Southampton beat us 2-1. We had 5 shots and all them on target. So I think that's quite good for the strikers. They had 16 shots, which is obviously a lot more than us, with 10 on target. We had 58% possession, although we only had 72% pass completion rate and they only had 57%. You'd think with our possession, our pass completion rate would be quite high. And we had 2 corners, therefore. What are your views on that, Neil?
Yeah, it doesn't look good, does it? You'd expect them kind of statistics inside the top six against us, especially since we're playing at home. Southampton set up with a 4-4-2, and they looked great. So they did kind of pull our pants down at times, and it didn't make us look really good. I think, as you were saying, with the pass completion, it is low for us, and it just seemed like all the players pretty much didn't look up to their full potential. Balls were going missing. Players were getting their feet. They were just, sometimes it was just hit and hope. Let's just see if Vardy can chase this. Even the substitutes were kind of doing that at times, which wasn't good. And it seems like they didn't really understand what they were doing. I think potentially it was a change of formation again. And I went to 4-1-4-1. But Dennis Pratt, who again, I gave man of the match, we'll come to in a bit, but he didn't quite understand his role alongside Choudhury. And that's one player I think we missed massively as well in Didi, because he's been in the side since we won the league, pretty much, he's a really pivotal role. And Choudhury, as good as he was, he just doesn't seem up to the level of an Ndidi. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, exactly the same. But if you remember when Ndidi came to us, he was like Choudhury is now. And Ndidi's been coached to the role that he is now, and he's become probably one of the world-class players in that role. If you look at all the European leagues and everything around the world, he is probably one of the best CDMs in the world. And I think Choudhury will get there. He just does silly things now and again. And that will come with coaching, and he is really young. So I think he will be a great player. He's obviously not going to be up to Ndidi's standard because he's just world-class. So I think he'll get there. And now he's got his opportunity to shine and get a bit better. Because you're only going to get better with first team performances, and with Ndidi sidelined for probably four weeks, it gives him the perfect opportunity to sit in that role and try and do what he can do. Ndidi's brilliant at sitting in front of the back four, which I think Choudhury needs to do more of. Choudhury seems to go forward a lot more than Ndidi would, but they're not the same player, so you just have to try and work to your strengths.
Yeah, I think that worked against Aston Villa when he came on, because we didn't have a CDM, but at times I remember he was losing the ball. And then people having to track back a lot more. What he does really well in Didi is that he knows when to go and when to stop, when to defend and when to attack. Because at times he's got really good feet on him when going forward, which I was really surprised at. Because normally we just see him sitting back, playing a short pass to some like Maddison, then Maddison hitting it up to Vardy. But he's actually got the ability now with the coaching to play and get past players, which I was really surprised at. With Choudhury, it will just take time for this to come. And again, with Ndidi out for a while because of this knee injury, this is his time to shine. But the only way we're going to do this is by playing him and allowing him to make mistakes. And the same way we did with Siyonchu, with the same way we did with Chilwell, it's just Hamza Chowdhury's turn. But the difference is now we're playing in a position, being second at the moment, or third if Man City win, where we're going to have a really, really... there's a lot more to lose compared to a couple of seasons ago. So there's definitely a lot of players that I really want to see Hamza Chowdhury in the team and stuff like that. But at the same time, how much are we going to give him? Because to be fair, he was okay. A lot of the players were okay, but Hamza was one of them. He did look a bit completely overwhelmed at times, which was not good to see. And he was making the wrong decision at the wrong time. But again, that'll just come down to experience. So you remember we were saying before, earlier on in the year, about Ayoze Perez, and if he gets pushed off the ball, he tends not to play in the games. Do you think this is one of the games where this happened again?
Yeah, I think so. I think it was the first three games he got hit and hit early, and then he waited for it. I think yesterday was the same. One player I do want to mention is Harvey Barnes. Over the season, I see glimpse of brilliance in him. And then he has games like yesterday. I think he 15 passes, and that's all he did in the game. Don't think there was any crosses or anything like that from him. He just didn't seem interested in just... At one point, when he came off, I didn't realise he was still on the pitch, to be honest.
Same here, yeah. He's a really good player, really good. And it's the same issue with Gray. Bearing in mind, because it's about a year now since he's been with us in the first team. There's still a lot of learning to do. He's still a year younger than most of the players as well. And I think you mentioned it before, he tries really hard. And that as a player mature, like in Ndidi has, for example, he's learned, okay, this is the time to come off. This is the time to attack. And I think Harvey Barnes just needs to learn that. And with a manager like Rodgers, he can definitely get the best out of them. Like Gray, when he came on, looks like a brand new player. Iheanacho looks like a brand new player. And the only way you're going to get these players, young players, to perform game in, game out, is to play them game in, game out. So is there any players for you that really stood out as man of the matches, or like potential people that had a good game? Because overall, I know it wasn't a great performance from us.
No, it wasn't great. Dennis Pratt came in for Tielemans, did a great job, I thought. Fully deserved his goal. Seemed to try to pull strings. He looked a bit lost in the midfield at times. I think because he was being overrun, because he didn't have that cover. And I think he did struggle at times. But what he did do, I thought his runs were good. His passing was excellent. He seems to be able to pick passes out left, right and centre. So was really impressed with him at times. He just looked like he didn't have any cover and was going to get an overrun. And the reason he didn't have any cover, maybe because Chowdhury was being pulled out of position to defend a lot, because Ings running at us, it looked like we were struggling with. Ings has scored the last few games, hasn't it? He's been playing well and does all that old traditional English striker, strong on the ball and can score goals.
And he's been absolutely on form. I think a lot of us were saying before the match, he's definitely going to score against us, and which he did to get the finishing goal. But again, he deserves an England call-up. He's way more in form than Harry Kane. Harry Kane will be out as injury. I'd argue that he's been better this season than Abraham. Obviously, Abraham's getting the headlines because they needed that player to come in as a replacement for Higuain, and Giroud was being benched. So again, I think Danny Ings, rightfully so, just from this year, should be in the England squad for the 2020. But I know that's another argument for another time, and for the summer we'll get on to. But he was, I understand, because when you watch Match of the Day, you kind of see how a player is from the highlights. But when you see him game in, game out, you see him for a full 90 minutes, you understand what a player does. And he's genuinely gone right under the radar for a lot of people, and he shouldn't have, because I think he's only a couple, I think he's like the top five scorers in the league. And for him to drag Southampton through, and again, don't get me wrong, Southampton were brilliant, but for him to, for example, yesterday, to get that match-winning goal for them to win the game after he hit the bar, after Southampton kept pressing and they had all these shots on target, for him to get that winner in the way that he did, fantastic. And that's why I think he deserves an England call-up.
Yeah, I think you're right. So we've spoken about the players scoring. So what are your scorings for each of the players then, Neil?
Yeah, I've got them down, so you'll be able to see them along the bottom. I'm just going to look at my notes here. So, yeah, I give Schmeichel a 7, which is surprising because at the beginning of the match, I was like, 5, what are you doing? But again, he made some vital saves. Without him, and if, say, Danny Ward was in or Jakubowicz was in, that would have been 4 or 5, and that would have been a very different conversation to what we're having now.
Yeah.
So I gave him a 7. I would have given him higher, but his distribution again was letting him down. Everybody just seems to be off. He wasn't having a good game. Chilwell, I gave a 4. Again, it was the worst performance we've seen, but it wasn't terrible. It wasn't I've definitely seen players play a lot worse. I remember Kucheski from, that was it was a walking red card at times. And so even compared to them, he was brilliant. So I gave him a 4. Soyuncu, I gave a 6. At times, his hothead really showed. And he was very frustrated, and he was getting pulled into challenges that he probably shouldn't have been, making fouls that he didn't. But at the same time, he was playing in a great, great position. I gave Evans a 6 as well. Decent, did the basics right, seemed to be on the ball. But again, he just, as good as Evans is, he missed that greatness that really holds the team together. I give Ricardo a 7. Sturdy, reliable as usual, and really did impress me in a team that was kind of falling apart. He was one of the players that was really trying to go for it, trying to sprint up the wing and trying to get the balls in, and knew exactly what he needed to do. Yeah. I give Choudhury a 5. Again, we'll talk about earlier the difference between Choudhury and Ndidi. It looked huge, but he's only going to get better with time. And again, they ran as ragged. Perez, I gave a 4, ineffective, I think. And yeah, as you were saying earlier, he got challenged in the game, got taken straight out. So I think you agree there. Madison, a 5. I was struggling between a 5 and a 6 because Madison was trying to, he was dropping deep, trying to get balls in. But because he was just being marked out of the game by the central defense, central midfielder. But at times he didn't look his best. He didn't have as good game as a Ricardo, for example. Pratt, I give a 7, man of the match performance. He was playing all over the park. Towards the beginning of the game, he was really shouting for the ball. Right, I want it here, pointing. And the players weren't quite giving it to him.
Yeah.
And then he became lost between a Choudhury and Madison, where his role was, because it seemed to be he was running all over the place and didn't quite understand what he was doing. But again, scoring the goal, creating the chance, and that's a really quick run he did to get on the end of Vardy's cross. So credit to him, and I gave him my man of the match as well. Barnes, again, we'll talk about earlier, I give him a 4. Did look lost, but we know he's got potential to grow there. And for the subs, I've gave Tillman a 6. He looks much better than he did against the previous match. That rest just seems to have done him the world of good. Nacho, I give a 6. 6 because he looks like a super sub. He's really scoring like one every two games or assisting one every two games. And this is phenomenal for him. And Gray, again, I gave a 6 because they all three performed not amazingly. They didn't change the game. They didn't actually improve the game that much. We could tell there was a new energy to the side. And again, that's what you can ask for as a substitute. So out of all them, and I've been talking for a while, which one do you think you disagree with, or which one do you think deserves a higher or lower score?
I agree with most of them. I think the ones I think Barnes, Chilwell, Perez, maybe borderline 3s and 4s. So I think it's right. I think they weren't terrible, but they weren't effective at all. And I think Rodgers saw that. Not much you can do about Chilwell because of the way the setup yesterday. Could have brought Fuchs on. I don't know. But he's sticking with him. He's sticking with youth. So I think we need to kind of make sure that Rodgers gets the backing of the fans. There were quite a few fans booing yesterday, which I don't agree with at all. And if you're there to support the team, try not to boo them. But I think overall it was a bad performance. Burnley next Sunday will be a very physical game. I don't think Perez should be playing against Burnley because it will get kicked off the park. And it is going to be a physical game. And Soyuncu needs to keep his head because it is going to get physical. We know what Chris Wood's like. Used to have him here. We know how strong he is and how tall he is and how great he is in the air. So we need to make sure that we do our homework next week and play the right team against Burnley. So I think we've had a great show today, Neil. Thanks for all your input. And we'll talk to everyone next week after the Burnley game.
See you. Speak to everybody then.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye.